Well, hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Cancer Killers podcast. And if you remember at the end of episode 2 last week, I left you with a bit of an idea as to what we're going to be talking about today, which is about the myths, some of the myths that are associated with testing and some of the biggest mistakes that that guys make when it comes to this. Now, before we hit the intro, he's being a little bit shy at the moment, but we may be graced with the presence of my cat, JB. So we'll see how he goes. I know he likes to make a bit of an entrance, so we'll see what happens there. And straight after the intro, we're going to go straight into, I guess, the beginning of everyone's process, which is talking about noticing symptoms. We'll catch you straight after the intro. Okie dokie, let's get right into this. So I wanted to start at the place where I guess everything kind of starts, which is noticing symptoms. You know, when we end up going to a doctor or physician or whatever we want to call them, there is something that we've noticed that has changed in terms of things in our body were one way for a while or a long time. And then over whatever period of time, things have changed and we've noticed some symptoms. And so for many years, I've been talking about the importance of listening to your body. You know, like, say, for instance, you know, when you're younger, you can handle dairy. And then as you get older, you can't handle dairy. I personally can relate to that. Totally sucks. Another subject, another day. But there's a huge importance, I believe, in tuning our mind to listen to our body, because there are a bunch of different things that it is telling us every single day, every single minute, every single moment. And without us listening to our body, then there are going to be things, and it's a saying in Australia, that kind of just go through to the keeper, that we miss it. And even though all the signals and signs were there, we just either weren't paying attention for whatever reason, and just letting things go, whether it be not paying attention, or ignoring it, like ignoring it deliberately is what I mean there. And so I think one of the really important places to start, and this is something that I really want to impress upon anyone who is, especially those that are already in the cancer journey, and there are things that there will be changing, you know, whether it be treatments or whatever. But right at the very beginning, in fact, even before that, is really starting to get into a habit of what's my body saying? What's my body doing? Is it doing today what it was doing yesterday or the day before or, you know, a week ago, a month ago, so on and so forth? And when we get into the habit of listening to our body, we are going to notice that it is telling us different things. You know, that Mexican pizza that we used to be able to happily have, maybe we can't have that anymore because of different reasons. Now, that's a little off the cancer topic, but in the broad conversation of listening to your body, it's absolutely spot on, because there are changes going on as we get older, and we need to start paying attention to them. And I think when it comes to the conversation of cancer, of recognition that something's going on, we need to, as early as we can in our life, start listening to our body. And we do it anyway. What I'm suggesting is, as we get older, now it's really time to recognize things are going to be different. It's not going to be the same in our 30s, 40s, 50s as what it was in our teens and 20s. It's just the way our body works. And so we need to be of a mindset that is at least regularly, I was going to say consistently, but at least regularly checking in, seeing, like I said, you know, is how my body responding to things today the same as what it was even a week ago or whatever. I think you get the point. Because what this really comes down to, at least at the very beginning, is a conversation about early detection. Because, and I brushed on this last week, I believe I brushed on this last week, when I talked about, you know, and I know that I was, you know, fumbling around, you know, early detection is this, that, and the other. But it's along the lines of prevention is better than cure. Now, we've all heard that phrase before. We know what it means. And it is directly linked with listening to your body, because the more we're listening and paying attention to these little nuances that may or may not be going on, then we give ourselves the best chance, the fighting chance, for if it does turn out that we do have cancer, that we're catching that kind of thing, we're catching that thing as early as possible, because that's just going to make the process a hell of a lot easier. We've just got to remember as we get older. So, as you know, I'm 45, and as much as up here thinks that he's still 17 or 18 in certain circumstances, I'm not as young as I used to be. And for all of us, we are going to be at a point every single day where, oh, I'm not as young as I used to be. And so when we're paying attention, when we're listening to our body, it's not just the mindset, but also the things that we used to do, our body is sometimes going to give us a few more no's than yeses. And we've got to pay attention to what those no's are that used to be yeses, if that makes sense. I trust that does make sense. Because when something starts to not feel right or the way that it used to be, and let's assume that the way it used to be was right. When something starts to not feel right, then wouldn't you want to be all over that? So, like, within the shortest period of time, to be able to go, hang on, that's a little different, or that's uncomfortable, or whatever it might be. I know for myself. Let's go with a direct example. So for me, with this process, with my cancer journey, I was in a place where and it was a little difficult, it was a little challenging for me to diagnose initially, because for me the biggest symptom was the waterworks weren't going as freely flowing as they used to. Now the fake out for me, or the element for me that caused me to pause and wonder what was going on, was that I've always had stage fright. There you go, bit of personal info. Always had stage fright when it came to the waterworks. Let's not get graphic. When it came to the waterworks, a little bit of stage fright. So for me, when it came to that listening to my body part that I'm talking about, that what I had to do there was kind of check in a bunch of different ways. Now, my body was giving me all the clues. In fact, if I was to look back, so my diagnosis was February 2021. But if I was to look at my first signs of when my body was saying, yeah, there's something not the same here. There's something different. That'd probably be closer to about 12 months prior, probably even 18 months if I'm really being honest with myself. It's kind of embarrassing too, because, you know, having gotten to the point that I'm at with regards to, you know, being stage four, there's an element where I go, oh, geez, I really could have checked earlier. I really could have asked those questions earlier. And I did, but I didn't go to the doctor. One of the things, so I'll share with you what I did, one of the ways that I checked in. Because we're all aware, I'd imagine we're all aware, or at least had some experience, that when some high impact emotional moment in our life has happened, that can affect us on a physical level. For instance, some people with high anxiety levels may find that their body responds or reacts, unfortunately, in a certain way. And I'm not talking about fear, but I'm talking like on a physiological level where it becomes quite uncomfortable. And so in my circumstance, because I knew that there was a traumatic moment in time leading into this, or before this, I wanted to, and this was, strangely enough, even though I'm saying it's it wasn't ideal, this was part of me listening to my body, but in another way. Because what I wanted to do was check in and go, okay, my body's doing a thing right now, and this is the waterworks. My body's doing a thing right now, and surely that's not normal. Is there something that maybe has happened in my life? So this was my first check-in. Is there something that maybe has happened in my life that was recent that could be creating this kind of response in my body? And I checked in with that. Like I said, it was a traumatic moment in time beforehand. And so I checked in, let's say, for about 2 or 3 months. Again, knowing that I had had a long history of stage fright with the waterworks, you know, I thought, oh, this is probably a little bit more extreme. Maybe I'm imagining things, maybe I'm not. Who knows? So I wanted to check in, and I think this is actually an important thing, but at the same time, we don't want to be faked out by it, in terms of, sure, check in with yourself emotionally, what's happened, and if that kind of thing may be having an effect or not. Now, with all of that said, even if there is an emotional event or moment in time that could be causing your body to be doing a certain thing at this point in time, firstly, at least you're listening to your body, so great, but then it really is a case of remembering that you're not in your teens, you're not in your 20s anymore, possibly, and that there are things that you may need to do with the care of your body, with the upkeep of your body, that you didn't have to do before. So where do we go? What do we do with all of this? Because I know that I've just lumped a bunch of stuff on you, you know, from a, oh, it could be, you know, my body's doing this, and, you know, we've got, you know, emotional possibilities that are having some kind of effect, and we need to have some kind of action plan to be able to move forward. And what do I do with all of this so then I can avoid having to be in a situation where I get taken by surprise with all of this? And really, I think one of the best places to start is to get, you know, what, especially once we're in our mid-30s, getting to a point where we start doing regular awareness checks and creating them, like incorporating them within a routine. That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you, words. Incorporating a some kind of awareness check into our routine, because in our teens and in our 20s, I know I've used them as examples of kind of a place where we have an invincibility syndrome, right? But in our 30s is when we start to notice, hang on, can't do the things I used to be able to do. Not able to eat the things I used to be able to eat, and all those kind of things. And so I think within our mid-30s, by the time we're 35, if we were to incorporate regular checks, you know, and to a point where, you know, I don't think, you know, necessarily needing to go to a doctor or a physician or anything like that, but just a very easy check-in, just going, all right, how's my water works? Am I doing all right there? You know, and by comparison, doing what you would call a comparative analysis and just keeping a check. I know this sounds quite involved, but I don't know. Don't they say your number one asset is your health? I don't know. Kind of think it'd be important. So I think incorporating an awareness check mid-30s, because then what that does is that gets you firstly in the habit for, you know, when you hit your 40s and definitely 50s, where things can significantly change. So if we're in the habit of doing those awareness checks in our mid-30s, we can only be on the right track as far as our health goes. Because when you think about it, see, this is the thing. For guys, we don't, firstly, we personally ignore it, but secondly, there's no regime that has been fathered down to us, whether it be, you know, quite literally by our father, or actually by health professionals. You know, and I've said this to people in the past that, you know, I think while we have a bit of a power funnage, one of the areas where I think women have a great advantage, finally, women having an advantage, is that the conversation about their health checks starts quite early on, and guys don't have that kind of conversation, which we need to, which we should, and that's kind of what I'm talking about here. Let's get those awareness checks happening and part of a routine before it causes an issue. So that's I think going to be a really important thing for you to incorporate. I know, let me put it this way. Had I done that, I would have caught things much earlier. Like I said before, probably would have caught it. I don't think I'd be waiting 18 months to finally have gotten a diagnosis. So things would have been earlier. And so, again, one of the purposes of this podcast is to save you the issue, the problem, and the trouble that I'm having to face. And by doing that, creating the conversation. So, hey, look, we're just about to go to a break, because I could do with a drinks break. And as you can see, JB's just quietly having a bit of a snooze in the corner of the screen there. I'm going to do my best to not wake him. And look, if you've enjoyed what I've shared thus far, maybe throw a bit of a like on this. And guys, I'll see you straight after the break. And welcome back from the break. I hope you enjoyed that. Now, I wanted to get a little bit deeper into the conversation of noticing symptoms, because we've talked about one part of it, which is listening to your body. But there's another part that completes the puzzle, if that makes sense, which is listening to others. Because while we can be listening to our body with regards to what symptoms we might be experiencing, and that we're curious about that, the next step in that process is to actually take that conversation outside of ourselves, where, you know, we're having a conversation with, I think one of the best places for us to move this conversation once we've gone from ourselves out to others is obviously there's an element of does this run in the family? Whatever I'm experiencing right now, hey mum or hey dad or hey brother, uncle, granddad, grandma, I'm experiencing this thing. Is that something that you've experienced before? Is something like this, does this exist in our family? Is this something that I need to be aware of? Have you gone through it? You know, all those kinds of questions, because family history is when you get to when you get to speaking to your physician, to your doctor, they're going to be asking you, is there a family history of this? You're going to be better armed to have the answer to that. I'm not just talking about being in the appointment, but when you're armed with that, that's going to give you a better conversation to have. When I say better conversation, what I'm talking about is that you can then ask even more pointed questions. Let's say, for instance, now I don't have a family history of it, but let's just say that I did have a family history of prostate cancer. I'm experiencing symptoms and I go to my dad and I say, hey dad, so I'm experiencing XYZ. When you went through this, were these the kind of symptoms that you had? And he could go, nah, I didn't experience that. Or you go, yeah, actually, like I had this and, you know, I had that. And so then something that you weren't even consciously aware of symptom-wise, speaking to that relative goes, yeah, I experienced this too. Then you've got another opportunity to check back in with yourself and go, am I experiencing that or am I not? And so you see how this goes, that you've got the opportunity to both check in with others and then be able to check back in with yourself. So then when it gets time to go to the doctor, you're armed with infinitely greater information there. So another important conversation is with your partner. If you have a partner, whether it be the same or different gender, it can still be quite a valuable conversation, because when you get into a process like this, having an open conversation and a willingness to be able to talk about things on such a personal level, that's actually going to serve you in a quite a significant way, because obviously, like I said, if you have a partner, they obviously care for you. They obviously want your well-being to be put, in such a high place. And so, opening up with what you're experiencing with your partner and even your friends. Not all of them, but, you know, maybe some close friends, just to say, hey, you know, like, have you experienced this? Is this something that just I'm experiencing, or is it, you know, is this something new? I don't know. It opening up a conversation, and I know later down the track we're really going to be having a bigger conversation about opening up this conversation to a point where, remember what I said last week, taking the electricity out of it and just making it feel like bread. Having that amongst your partner, your family, and your friends is going to serve you so well. And that is all a part of both listening to your body and listening to others, because it gives you a greater strength to be able to do that. I trust that makes sense. So this was a really short section here, just following up on that first one, which was, just to recap, listening to your body first, doing those check-ins, both the physical and emotional, seeing what kind of dynamic is created there, but then also utilizing the speaking with others element, so then you can, greater questions can be asked, and gives you an opportunity to, once you've asked those questions, check in with yourself again. And so that giving you the opportunity to then be really well armed if and when you need to go to a physician or doctor. All right, guys, we're going to have another quick break and we'll be back real soon. All righty, catch you then. Hi, guys. Welcome back to the final segment. Now, obviously, you would have noticed in the very last segment, there's a bit of light flickering in the background. Don't worry, everything was safe. It was just another reminder, charge all your lights before you press record. Good one, me. Yay. All right, let's move on to the last bit. Oh, there's two bits that I want to cover, and then we are done for the day. So I'll leave news of my journey till the end, but obviously I mentioned right at the very beginning that I wanted to talk about the myths around getting prostate tested, and mindset and everything like that. So obviously I've definitely alluded to this before in the past, that so many guys are under the impression that a prostate, that when they go to get their prostate checked, examined, that it's a gloves on and needing a hug afterwards kind of affair. Nothing is further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, I'm not saying that that's not part of the process down the track, but they're not gonna start there. It's like I've said a million times before, and this bears repeating. I think it deserves repeating. There are two specific places that they start beforehand. The first is what's called a PSA blood test. Now, with this blood test, is it entirely 100% accurate? No, but what it does is it gives an indication of prostate health and how well it is functioning. So is it a perfect test? No, but what it does, it'll give you an idea. Yeah, is it working all right? Is it not? That's at least the first place to start. After that, then there are generally two options. It could be, and this was what it was for me, although it was the ultrasound for me first before it was the blood test. So there is the ultrasound, which is a very, very easy non-invasive process, where they just below the belly button, they're just checking size of kidneys and size of the prostate and the bladder. They're able to measure within a degree of like millimeters what it should be and what it is. So they're able to do that in a non-invasive way. The other option, which I just learned the other day, obviously I've had plenty of these since then, but right at the start of the process, if they don't do an ultrasound, they might want to do an MRI, which also is an extremely precise procedure. Again, non-invasive. And so now, sitting in front of the what they call a digital rectal exam, which is gloves on, before that's even thought about, before anyone even goes there, we've now got, and this is why science is awesome, we've now got a blood test, which has a, like I said, creates a picture, so to speak. Then we have either an ultrasound or an MRI, which quite literally creates a picture. Once you get past that, like if the journey takes you to a point where you're like, yeah, okay, we need to go further, then okay, then it goes to the digital exam. By that point, and this is the thing that gets me, that drives me crazy, and that guys have just got it all wrong, is that by that point, you're like, all right, docs, do what you got to do. I'm all G. Let's, you know, I don't like it, I don't love it, but do what you got to do. And that's the digital exam. The biggest mistake that we make, other than not knowing that process, and that's not a mistake, that's just as a result of not enough awareness being given to us. But the biggest mistake that we make with thinking that the digital exam is first is that there's it's got anything to do with manliness or losing it or anything like that. These two things are just not related. I can tell you, and I'm not going to get too graphic at all, but when it came to a point for me for those examinations to happen, I can tell you, your mind kind of just leaves for a second and just go, you know, to a point where you just go, all right, doc, just do what you got to do. You know, I'm here, but I'm not here, you know, whatevs. And I got to say, the other thing is, the doctor doesn't care. Like, whatever's going on in your body, they're just focused on your healthcare. The only person that cares in that moment is you. And by that point, you don't care. You're just like, doc, do what you got to do. Let's just get on with this. Shall we just get on with this? Right, cool. Let's dance. This last one actually really, really annoys me. And I've heard people say this in the past to a point where I verbally clobbered them over the head, where they've said, oh, I'd rather just not know. So just because of the fear of that gloves on moment, they're like, yeah, no, I'd rather not. I'll go through the pain of this process. Here's what they don't realize. So let's just say that was an ideal strategy. Here's what they don't realize. That process is going to happen anyway. That once they're further down the track and, you know, when the shit really has hit the fan, that's why I paused. I was like, yeah, can I say that? When the shit's hit the fan, that gloves on moment is happening anyway. So all this bullshit about, you know, oh, I don't want to do that because of this process and all that. Dude, if you got it, it's going to happen anyway. You might as well go through the process. And like I said, because it starts with a blood test or an ultrasound or an MRI, if nothing's wrong, you got nothing to worry about. So deal with it. I know I got a little bit worked up there because it really annoys me. All right? So, guys, seriously, that test ain't got nothing to do with your manliness. All right? It's as simple as that. Rant over. Yay. All right. Now, just lastly, just moving into as we go to close this up. Obviously, last week I mentioned that I was going in for my first chemotherapy session. As you can see, kind of doing all right. Now, I know that not everyone travels through chemo easily. And I'm not saying that I will. All I'm noticing is that my very first one was fairly easy. Now, the doctors did say, yeah, your first one's going to be easier because they pumped me full of steroids and everything like that. and they also said, your sleep is going to be heavily affected tonight because we've pumped you full of steroids. And I'm like, you know, since I've been on the hormone therapy, my sleep's screwed anyway. They've gone, oh no, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, yeah, whatever, okay. I didn't get to sleep until 7 a.m. the next morning. So nurses and doctors, one, me, zero. But, you know, with all of that said, I was able to go to work the next day. I don't know, I felt fine. I have been checking in with myself. Remember I talked about listening to your body? So I have been checking in with myself just to make sure, because I didn't want to be a hero or anything like that. If my body said, you know what, just chill out, just take a moment, then I would have done it. That's also why this is being filmed a day later than what I normally would, because and it was unrelated to going to the doctors. Pardon me, drinks break. but my body said, you know what, I need you to just take a day, and I went, all right. What else? Oh yeah, I had a blood test today, which if I wasn't doing what I'm doing, i.e. going through cancer treatment, I wouldn't have to do it, but I'm getting I've booked in my second Pfizer jab tomorrow. Being that I'm going through this treatment, the chemo treatment, I've got to be obviously immunocompromised right now. So the doctors just want to make sure, are your bloods all good for you to be able to go with the second jab? I'm feeling fine, so if that's any indication, then I'll be getting my second Rona jab, and then I'll be all good there. Which the reason why I wanted to do that was not just from the broader Rona pandemic element. Words today, I tell you what. But also, I wanted to, with the second jab, I wanted to get myself as close to the start of the chemotherapy journey as possible, with an expectation that as I go further and further down the journey, that it may become more and more challenging physiologically for me. So that's just me trying to take care of my body the best way that I can. And other than that, I'll get the, I expect to be able to get the jab tomorrow and we'll be all good. All right, guys, that is it for today's podcast episode. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I don't think we entertain JB anywhere near enough. So, you know, maybe next time, maybe we'll inspire him to come and say hi. That's it for this week. We will catch you next week. And in next week's podcast episode, I wanted to talk about the most important thing we forget before and during the process. All right, guys, have yourselves a good one, and we'll catch you next time. Bye for now.